extortionists, those people who really, and this pasuk means people who deny the wages to the workers, and to the almana, the yosan, the widow, the yosan, the orphan, umate ger. Mate ger means those who pervert, who enact laws that cause the ger to lose, to be denied what is rightfully deserves. The low yirei uni or mar Hashem tzivakas. That's a long pasuk. We'll just do that one pasuk by itself. So again, let's see right away. Run to the mitzvah started pasuk hey, and it's a perigimel pasuk Malachi, perigimel pasuk hey. Those of the art scroll that's on page 892. So the pasuk here says v'korafti oz v'ekrav aleichem. When a Mashiach will come, Hashem says, I will come near you. La'asoyis mishpat. That's always the goal. The goal is mishpat, l'shalem gemul maaseh ha'ish, to give a person what he deserves. V'chayisi eid mimaher. Written l'ma lo yismama ha'mishpat ad yachkiru eso eidim ki ani ba'atzmi aye eid mimaher lanois kama. Now this is very, very, for us in America, we can appreciate this in a moment. Because in America, we all know that mishpat can take decades. When a person goes to court, it takes forever. Everyone here, I'm sure, has gone for jury duty. And maybe you ever sit on a case in jury duty?
Once, but half the case, and then you settled in the middle.
They settle 95% of the time. That's what happens. They settle somewhere along the line. They settle. So today, you go to anyone who goes to court today, it takes literally a lifetime, forever and ever. And then when the case is over, you file an appeal, and then you file another appeal, and it literally goes on forever until you. So by the time it's over, all the money has been spent on lawyers and on other expenses where there's nothing left. I know someone who told me, who told me that he has a balabatim. They went to a din Torah, and he sat with them. They wanted to kill each other, and he sat with them in the very beginning. He said, "Listen, I'm telling you now, right now at the table, let's settle. Because if you're not going to settle, I guarantee you, by the time this is all over, there'll be nothing left. There'll be no money left to pay each other. We're fighting over like even millions of dollars. There'll be nothing left." And like the Rav, he really, really worked his head off. They should settle right now. No, not willing to settle. The hatred was so great. So I asked him, this Rav, it's now 2 years since that happened. So he says they went to a din Torah, and they went to court. I don't even know if it was din Torah court. And he says they issued a psak. But basically the person who they decided against made a claim he has no money left to pay. He doesn't have any money.
He doesn't
have any money.
Does the person
really
get paid?
What?
Does the person get paid?
Yeah, the person gets paid, sure.
By the people involved?
I think so, yeah.
Or they pay through a general fee that pays them. You know,
that's corrupt. To pay each individual dayan, that's mamash a bribe.
Right, so
they pay a judge, the RCA bezin. You pay a fee to the bezin, the bezin assigns judges. Right, you don't pay to a specific. You don't pay to a specific person. You pay a general fee. You don't pay directly to the person that gives you the hashgacha. That's fraud because that's bribery, right? So you pay a general fee. I don't know. Each bezdin is different. The RCA, they have a bezdin. They're very over the years. Anyone that's involved in these things will tell you the nastiest things and tell you how corrupt it is, how horrible it is. But. I don't know personally, but they say that over the last number of years, or the last 10 years, things have vastly improved. They've vastly improved the professionalism and the system to avoid corruption and to set up an honest system of mishpat has been really gone a long, long way. It's a very big business today. There are a lot of bati dinim, because there are a lot of
baruch Hashem. The divorce court is very dirty.
Well, that's dirty. Ever watch on television? That's the worst. Okay, but in Bate Dinim, it's a very ugly, ugly thing that goes. There's no question about it. Whatever it is, what it is. But so over here, we all know that these words over here come out very, very powerful. Eid mimaher, swift. This is not going to be a prolonged process. When we think of Mishpat, the 9/11 commission, okay, when there's this commission, and they made, what did they make? There was a... what was it, 90 days passed? Oh, yeah, right. So when they came out about a couple, 2-3 months ago about where did, what's the origin of COVID? Remember that?
Yeah.
So the first they were telling Trump was a mishugan of this, that, and then no, talking, it might be true. So Biden agreed to appoint a commission to investigate. So how long, when would they report back? 90 days later. So they had on the news, all the reporters in the white, in the it's 90 days. It's 90 days. No. Where's the report? So the, well, 90 days mean that's when they'll finish doing the investigation. But then after 9 days, they first have to go and put everything together to make a report. Oh, then that came. What was the report? Inconclusive. Yeah, right. Inconclusive. But we know that in this world, there's a davar pashut, that mishpat takes a very, very long time. And even when it comes to the mishpat of Hashem, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he does not let anything go. If a person does an aveira, Hashem eventually catches up with him. It can take a lifetime. We all know.
The system is the justice, not the final result. The final result is not necessary. The system.
The system is torture. That's the punishment. The system itself is torture. You're right. Everything is good, but this Chazal is very powerful words because it says that when Mashiach will come, it will be just. I'll be aid mimaher. It will happen swiftly. In one moment, you get online, you go to Beis Din, you have a big $1 million question, what to do. You go to Beis Din, and in one day, the Dayanim sit, they listen, they understand the entire thing, and they pass in the halacha. And the litigants have confidence that yes, what the judges have, the judges, number one, they fully understand the issues. That's a very big problem today in everything. Today that's the biggest problem. When you go ask a shayla to a rav, does the rav really understand what you're asking? He's asking these very complicated questions on business, what goes on, and all these funds and investment funds, and who knows, all these crazy. Do the rabbanim have a background in business to really understand the depth of what is really going on?
That's why he has technological questions. The rabbanim don't know.
And it could take a rabbanim like years to really understand what exactly is the question, what exactly is going on. Can you talk about, even taking the vaccine? I mean, you're not a doctor. Do you understand? Do you fully understand? Different people have different conditions. Children, women, pregnant women, adults, seniors, people in nursing, you're a doctor, you're just going to give one blanket statement for everyone? How does, you know, everything is extremely complicated. So the first issue is you go ask a child to a rav, does the rav really understand what the question is? You go to the technology question. I have a new device, electronic car. Can I do this on Shabbos? It's not a gasoline car, it's an electronic car. I left the door open. Can I close the door? Can I do this? Can I do that? The lights go on, lights don't go on. It's the Raisa, the Rabban. How do all these things work? Do the Rabban that you're asking the question to really fully comprehend the question, the depth of what the issues are? Everyday technology changes. Business world is extremely complex. Medicine, it takes decades to become a doctor. Even the doctors don't understand fully what's going on.
So you look at a house next door to a Professor Levine.
Yeah.
A chemistry or bio professor in NYU. The OU used to come to him when they had questions, of course, it had involved, you know, chemistry.
Yeah.
And he would have to do the research and find out, where does this chemical come from?
Right. Wait, which Levine is this? Who is this? On your block, on 19th Street?
No, it was done everywhere before I was married.
There was a person, Torah Das, name was Yanki Lach. He wrote, they have his book over here. He wrote on Masech Tuchulin, Trefus. He had all the pictures of the anatomy of all the birds and the animals. So he after he wrote that sefer, he got a job for the OU. He was basically a chemist. He worked in that department, like the OU dealing with different chemicals, food technology. Like where exactly does this flavor, what exactly is it? Where does it come from? Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? And he was basically like
complaining about the vaccine because the religious beliefs say that there are embryo cells that are being used in the vaccine. I know if it's true.
That's an ethical question. That's not so much a halacha question. That's more of an ethical question.
Right.
That's ethics. Okay, that's another issue. Okay, there are many, many different facets, and every single thing you need someone who really understands what is going on. And then after you have confidence that you do understand what's really going on, now the next question is, what's the halacha? Are you qualified to pass in the halacha? You know the whole Shulchan Aruch? Who knows these things? Who knows the Chosha Mishpat on their fingertips? Who knows all these medical issues, life and death issues? Who knows these things? So it could take literally decades in order to absorb and have time to learn and understand both the halacha and the halachic issue to paskin. La'asalavo, times of Mashiach, v'kodavti alechem la'mishpat, v'chayisi, I will be an aid mimaher. Hashem says, I will be a witness. In other words, the way the piece is explaining is, I'm going to go through the entire process of Mishpat in a moment, in an instant. It is not going to be a prolonged process like we see in this world, both in the system of Mishpat that exists both amongst Jews and non-Jews. And it's not going to be like when a person does an Avera. No, eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him Mida K'neged Mida. That can take decades. That can take centuries, and whatever. They think, we know that when a person does you hear stories of people, they feel that they're suffering, and they'll say, I'm a matzik upon myself the din, because I know that 35 years ago I did the same thing to someone else, and now I know how it feels. You hear such stories. Are they right for saying this? Who knows? Who knows that you can say such a thing? But we've all had those experiences where, look, I remember my own father once said to me, he said, I used to go I did something very late at night, and it annoyed him. It annoyed him that I made too much noise. So he said, I'm getting what I deserve, because when I was your age, I did the same thing to my parents. And I made a lot of noise, and I bothered them, so I'm getting back what I deserve. My father said to me,
payback.
So people, but that took a whole lifetime. That took a lifetime. So is that the way it's supposed to be? Like, because the Shbarach is going to pay back a person, it takes many, many years? Well, maybe it's better that a person should be punished instantly. Who's to say? Maybe it's not so good a person should be punished instantly. One thing that we do know, I always tell you this is the Ramban. The Ramban says one of the big advantages of living in Eretz Yisrael over Chutz Le'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, like the Shbarach Hu's Mishpat is accelerated. When a person in America, Chas V'Shalom, does an Aveira, so there's no Mishpat, Dayanim, Bezdin. You get away with it, you get away with it. But Hashem pays you back. When does Hashem pay you back? When does Hashem punish and reward a person? Reward for good and punish? It's very, very slow in coming. And when a person eventually sees the reward or feels the pain, the punishment, it's very likely he'll forget. Because what he did, the reason what he's getting paid back for, rewarded or punished, it's 25 years after he did what he did.
And you get punished right away, you don't have a chance to do tshuva.
I don't know. Punishment.
You say, I made a mistake, and you get punished before you have.
So punishment is not black and white. It doesn't mean the person gets the full dosage. Hashem gives a little reminder. Oh, I can still do tshuva. That's not like in one shot. The Ramban says that in Eretz Yisrael, the cycle of a person doing good or bad and Hashem rewarding or punishing is accelerated. And that gives a person an opportunity to connect the dots. And that's why in Eretz Yisrael, in the Bechlag, you see the whole Eastern Europe, and the whole Middle East, and Eretz Yisrael especially, they're very intense. Israel is very intense. They're very quick. Yeah?
You mentioned sometimes it take decades or even generations, and then with that happens, you can't even connect it anymore. You don't see.
Okay.
In Israel, a lot of times things come much quicker.
Right. The cause and effect is lost. But here it says that loss of love is going to happen mi maher. Further in the Mitzvah stuff, on page 893, it says Vayisi Eid mi maher. Okay, and then it says Ad mehira la'anois b'bam chashtim uva oyishke sachar shel sichius. This simply means that people who deny wages. The oyishke, we had this a couple of times. Oshek is a very complicated word. It means different things in different places. Sometimes when oshek means extortion, which, if I'm not mistaken, means where you pay a person money. I like your house. Here's $1 million. Get out. I'm taking over the house. I am not selling my house for $100 million. This is mine. I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I want this property. Get out. And don't take me to court. Because look, I gave you $1 million and you signed the dotted line. So what is the court going to say? The court's going to see the documents. What is the market value? $1 million. Did you sign? Yes, you signed. So what are you coming to us and claiming that you never wanted to sell the house? You sold the house. You got your money. Leave us alone. Get lost. Okay, so you get away with it. But you force a person to relinquish, to sell something that he does not want. So that is one translation of the word oshek. Now, another translation, which means in this context, gemoyd, I'm asking, in this context, what it really means is to deny your worker his wages. Someone does work for you, and you owe him money. You pay him late. I paid you. Yeah, but you know, because you paid me late, I didn't pay my mortgage on time. And now I have a penalty. And because of the penalty, my credit rating has declined, has sunk. And now the next time I want to go make an investment, the bank's not going to trust me. So what do you want from me? I paid you. I owed you $1,000. I paid you. So no, I paid you 2 weeks late. You know, 2 weeks makes all the difference for me. And so it's one thing if a person doesn't have the money to pay. But it's another thing when you have the money to pay and you lahachis to be mitzayer a person, you delay. There are people like this. I know firsthand a lot of stories like this. When you have the money to pay, you just, you know, I don't fargin to pay you. So you deliberately hold back paying the wages that you owe to make a statement. That is called oishek. Yeah, and hol.
That's a specific case of oshek, is that definition of oshek?
Right. There are different. There are many variations of oshek.
Could also be translated as exploitation, or persecution.
Correct. Right. There are many translations of the word oshek. It's a very complicated word that is all over Tanakh, all over Chazal, and almost in every single place that you find the word. It means something different based on the context. And in this unique case, being the word oshek is connected to the word wages, uve oishke sechar sochir, almana v'yosayim. It basically means you're giving them what they deserve, but it's like the way you give it to them. I have a friend who is phenomenally wealthy, this guy. This guy really hit the jackpot. He works in tech. And I was friendly with him for a while, and he told me that when he used to work for someone, the person that he worked for, one of his first jobs, really, really hated him with a passion. And he described to me how during his paycheck came to me, and he made sums of him, and then he wrote out the check, and he put the check and put it in front of him, and then as he was about to take the check, he pulled it back. And he played this game with him. He played this game with him, and he told me he felt like a piece of garbage, like a piece of garbage. This person today is very, very successful, but he described to me in detail exactly how, the contempt he had for him. That is called oishke schar socher, because oishek generally means you pay the person. You do give the person what he deserves, but it's the manner in which you give him what he deserves. Either you force him to sell something he does not want to sell, or you pay him late. I paid you a few weeks late, big deal, what do you care? I needed the money on time to pay the mortgage. You caused me a lot of problems. Or it's like a litzonis. The way you pay, there's an attitude of contempt. I know of a story of a Rebbe, okay, of a bunch of Rebbeim in the yeshiva, where they came in to pay them their checks. So the yeshiva b'chlal, they probably never paid on time anyway. And when they finally had money to pay, had a lunch break. All the Rebbeim were in the room. So the head of the yeshiva, he comes in with a bunch of envelopes, and he calls out, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And he throws them their check. So there was one Rebbe who was very dignified. But he didn't like this approach of everyone when they're eating lunch during the recess. He comes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So he didn't come. He didn't come that day to the lunch, to the room when they gave out the checks. So they sent a message. And when he was giving class, you don't need a check. You didn't come to the room. You became a gevir. You don't need the few dollars that we pay you to survive. So he basically said to him, he gave him a lot of mussar, that the way you give, you pay, it's such a disgrace. You treat us like chickens. Like what are we kindergarten over here? You throw everyone a check. These you have over here chashuva people. Either Talmidei Chachamim, who they were barely making enough to survive. And you have to add insult to injury to go and be mevaza them when you pay them the few dollars. That's it's bad enough you don't pay on time. It's bad enough you pay us almost nothing. You have to also be mevaza us and give us our check in such a disgusting way. So he said, you're right. And from that point on, they stopped doing it. I think they mailed them the check. A much more dignified approach to paying a person.
As a matter of fact, when they sent the message, they should have brought the check to him and apologized. That's what it should have.
Right, it's a certain small-mindedness. Yeah. And that all of that is all included in this term called Duva Oyeshke Sechar Sochar. There is, when you pay someone, listen, so you pay them. But it's more to life than just paying the person what they are owed. There is dignity, and there is respect in how you pay someone, what is owed to them. Also, the worst thing is, where you have to go beg for your paycheck. That's the pits. I once had a job like that, where hired, and they're going to pay me, they're going to promise to pay me for a certain project very well. And did the project, the Muna Shalema, delivered the goods, everything is good, little follow-up. Excuse me, you owe me money. Why do I have to go and beg you for my money? Why do I have to go send you a bill, send you another bill? I have to go call up. Why do I have, you hired me to do you a service. I did the service. It is your duty that you on your own should pay me immediately without I being humiliated to come and basically beg you. I feel like I'm begging for tzedakah. This is not tzedakah. I wasn't doing it. You hired me to do the service. I did the service, so you should have the decency to pay me immediately. It's horrible. This happens all the time. And in fact, he came to ask me that this person who once hired me, he wants to hire him for a very big project, and he wants to know my experience. So I told him, the person is an honest person. At the end of the day, he's going to pay you in full. I have no doubt about it. He's a good, solid, honest person. But you should know, he's a little bit suflagin. He's a little bit suflagin. And my experience with him is, you're gonna have to go and like beg him to give you the money, and he will. He will give you the money at the end of the day. If you have a stomach for that, then goes on to hate. Some people that's their way they operate. That's the whole modus of operating is, you know, everything is a hustle in life. You do a service, you give them a bill, and you know, eventually somewhere down the line you'll collect.
I thought you're supposed
to pay a Bioima, that's right. So this, on the day 100, that's the halacha. But they don't care about halacha. Who gave the halacha? They don't care about halacha. Let's forget about halacha. 100%. So I told him this, and he was very appreciative, because he told me, Bezen says to me that if he would take this opportunity, he would quit his regular job. He had a stable job, wasn't being paid all that much, but he had a good job, was stable, and this was a lot more money for him, but he was really worried about exactly this point. Like, the job he has right now, the money comes in the mail. You know, it's like working for the city. The check comes in the mail. You don't have to worry about anything. This, I have to worry. Will he pay me? When will he pay me? I have to go be toiveya. And he was very appreciative to know, like what kind. This is all included in the principle called oishek. Oyshek always means you give the person what he deserves. But the torment is how you give him what he deserves. Either you force him to sell something he doesn't want to sell, he has the same amount of money in the bank, no difference, or you give it to him in a demeaning way, or you pay him late, or you make the person come beg him to turn the tables. The whole attitude is, I'm doing you the favor. No, you're not. I did you the favor. Why do you have to go turn the tables on me and make me feel like I'm doing you a favor? That's a horrible thing. And you learn from that whenever you hire a person to do a service, don't play games with people. If you really are sincere, the money, as soon as the service is complete, pay immediately. Don't go torture the person. It's a very horrible thing. For Jews and non-Jews, it doesn't make a difference. It's a midah. Further in the Rashbam, if we finish over here, in the Mitzudos, okay, Alman of Yosim, Velo Yisham Mosfarim, the word Oshek goes both on the Sochir, and even worse, on the Almana and the Yosim, because the Alman and the Yosim have no one protecting them. Not like today. Today, it's not the same. It's not even true. Today, it's really no different today. But in the time of Chazal, it was probably much, much worse. The Almana and the Yosim were extremely vulnerable. And they're very vulnerable today as well, no question about it. Okay, next, in the Mitzvah Savid, Umate Ger, what does this mean over here? Umate Ger, Umate Mishpat Hager L'chayva B'chinam. You pervert the law in order to do an injustice. V'lo yir uni ritzin lemar eskol el osu ki ein pachat adam l'negdam, they have no fear of Hashem. Ki akishuf yayiniuf, Hanasa Belot in the Seser, okay, witchcraft and new of adultery that is done secretly, the Ain Mira Shuas Hashekar, Ain Mio Dead Shinishba Hashekar, no knows that he's for falsely, the Ashikas Kharskiwas and the denial of payment to this Alman Vyasam, the Hatoyas Agar Mishbad Lo Haloyasim Al, he ain't Pachtam Mutelas Love, he came to Shushe Choyach, the Chofa Ezrosam. The reason why people do these sins is because they can get away with it. There is no one standing in their way. These people are weak and feeble. They have no one defending them. They can get away with it. They have no yiras Hashem. Ki im huroya hakol v'yodei taluma slave v'yod v'yoder v'kol mashala. Hashem knows exactly what's going on. Ulchein hashalom lohem gimul hamaser. Hashem says the day will come up. Day of reckoning will come when I'll punish him. Ulzibol hashem lohem al mash amu o ayei elokei mishpat. In the previous parak we learned that the people say to Hashem, or the previous psukim, they say that where is Hashem? Hashem allows the wicked to succeed. So Malachi says back, it's not true. The day of the reckoning will come, and everyone will be punished and rewarded exactly for what they've done. Okay, let's stop over here. I want to know over here. Let's learn a little bit about Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, Hoshana Rabbah is around the corner. It's a Monday. It's unfortunate that we didn't really get a good chance to learn about Sukkos. So much to learn about Sukkos, Talmidim, and Sukkah. But right after Yom Kippur, it was already Shabbos, it's Sunday. But at least let's try to learn a little bit about Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is a very holy day. Obviously, Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot. Okay, Shmini Atzeres.